Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, God's Plan for Progress, Choose Well Today, from the series Family Fortified, and shows you that God has a plan for your progress, starting with the choices you make today. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Yesterday, I got invited to the BMW Golf Championship in Castle Pines. And so went with a buddy of mine to that golf outing, and he lives in that neighborhood, told me how to get there, and got on the golf course. And it was amazing to me that so many people enjoy golf. And as I was watching, you know, I was at the different greens and then walking our way to hole number 18. And it's amazing to me to see some of these guys play, because they can drive a ball over 400 yards, some of them. I mean, the way that they hit their second shot right on the green, the way they put them in, I mean, it's incredible. And what's even more incredible is when you stand next to people that watch golf, that like golf, they talk as if they're as good as the people playing. They tell you about their lessons. They tell you about certain holes that they've hit. They tell you about certain drives they've made and certain things they've done. And as I was watching yesterday, it dawned on me why I don't enjoy golf that much. And here's why. Most people don't know that before my freshman year in high school, I debated all summer as to whether I was going to golf on the golf team or be a football player. I was actually a decent golfer. But I chose football because when I played golf, I realized I kind of tapped out. I mean, the greatest golf score I've ever really had is kind of in the mid-80s, and I knew I could never be phenomenal being a mid-80s golfer. And it's frustrating to participate in a sport where you know you can't be elite or you can't be one of the better ones. And so even if you take lessons and even when you're playing and everybody's trying to coach your swing and tell you what to do, it's just not that fun. And so for me, the only people I ever play golf with are people that I like that don't keep score. And I'm telling you this story because I think when we're in this Families Fortified series, a lot of us feel just like that. It's one thing to talk about how God created us and how we're all valuable to Him. It's another thing to talk about how He created us as men and women and there's purpose in our gender. It's another thing to talk about what marriage should look like. It's another thing to talk about how we parent. It's another thing to talk about what it looks like to be a godly single. And yet when we hear the standard, sometimes we feel like I feel when I go watch golf is this: what's the use of trying? I can never be that good at it anyway. I heard about the marriage thing, but in all honesty, if I was reflecting, my marriage on a scale of 1 to 10 is never better than a 5. And we've worked at it hard and it doesn't seem to get any better. And you know what? I'm single. I'm almost 40 years old and I've done it God's way and I still don't have a spouse. So what's the use in trying anymore? Or we tried to raise our kids in the Lord and some of them have gone wayward and they're prodigals. And so I hear what God wants. And I think for some Christians, they can live that. But for me, it just doesn't feel like that's ever going to work out. So why try? I'll just give my heart and attention somewhere else. And that's why this message today is for you. Because here's what I believe, that by God's grace, if He called you to Himself in salvation, He, through His Spirit, can do everything in your life that the Word tells you that He can do. And He can redeem any part of your past that's not all that glorious. And so today I want to talk to you about God's plan for your progress. How is it that you can go from where you're at to where God wants you to be so that you don't get discouraged and give up? And the answer to that question is making good choices today. Making good choices now. Because even those of us that would say, yeah, I probably need to make changes, here's when you want to make changes. Tomorrow, I'll work on my marriage later. Hey, after the party next weekend, then I'll start living morally. I mean, it's always down the road. And God says, no, today is the day that I want you to go after me. So if you're one of those that's been listening to this Families Fortified series, and in your heart, you say, I wish I had a family like that. Wish I had a mom like that, dad like that. Wish I had a marriage like that. Wish I lived perfect like that. But I don't know what to do now. God has a word for you to encourage you today. Amen. To do that today, I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua, we're going to be in chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. As we talk about making good choices, And where this is in Israel's history is they've now gone in, they've taken over the promised land, they've conquered all their enemies, they've established the cities, and God's done a great work through all of Israel. After being delivered from Egypt, after spending 40 years in the wilderness, after going in, Joshua has now spent his life doing what the Lord asked him to do, and he's seen God's faithfulness to him. And as he's talking to the people, here's how he encourages them before he dies. He says this, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so as Joshua gives a call to the people of Israel, he's telling them, look at all that God's done. Now, you've seen God move and you've seen God work and you've been around the move of God. Now, I want to tell you how you can continue to see it. It's almost as if I'm paraphrasing here and saying, Brave Church, you've seen God move in our church. You've experienced God in the preaching. You've experienced God in worship and in prayer. You've seen God move in relationships in our church. You've watched all that. Do you want to see it continue to go? You've heard God's standards for marriage, and you've heard God's standards for singles, and you've seen his desire to make family central to all that he wants done. How are we going to continue to see God move in that way? And so he gives them this charge. And I want to give you five choices from the text today that you can make today. If you make these choices on a daily basis, you will see God begin to move in your life in greater capacity than ever before. Five choices that you can choose well today. And the first is this. Choose to remember God's faithfulness. Choose to remember God's faithfulness. In chapters 23 and 24, right before we get up to our text, Joshua is giving his farewell address, and then he begins to review all of Israel's history and all that God has done. And I won't take the time to read the whole text, but in Joshua chapter 24, verse 13, he really puts the handle on it for everything that God has done. And notice Joshua speaking God's word, speaking on behalf of God, speaking for God, says this, "I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities which you had not built, and you lived in them. You are eating the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant." Here's what he's saying. Our God's been faithful. Every good thing you have is from God. Every gift you have is because of him. He's telling Israel, you're in a land that you didn't earn. You're in a land you didn't deserve. You've got trees to eat off of that you didn't plant. You've got food to eat that you didn't do anything to get. And you have everything you have because God is so good. So here's what I want to tell you to do. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's faithfulness. Will you give God thanks for everything he's done in your life? Because here's how it works relationally. Here's how it works in your life. If you're single, it's like, yeah, but where's my spouse? If you're married, then you say, well, how come it's so hard for us? And you only dwell on the one thing. Here's what God wants you to do. If you're gonna see God move, choose to thank him for all the ways that he's been faithful to you from the time that you were conceived up until now. And you will find there's not enough daylight to name all the things. If you're here today, praise God, you have health to come. If you're breathing air, thank God, because you didn't create it and you didn't create the system that you have with your lungs or your circulatory system to get the oxygen around. God created all that, took care of all of it for you. So thank him for that. If you have any good relationships, that's God. If you have any resources, that's the Lord. If you have any talents or abilities, God's the one that gave them to you. So when you are making choices, choose today to be thankful for God and for all that he's done in your life. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's God's will for my life? Give him thanks. Praise him for all he is. Praise him for all he's done. Praise him for his character. Praise him that his love and his mercy never fail. Will you trust God in your present situation, or are you complaining about it? God wants you to trust him for that. And even if you're in a situation that's a bad situation, and even if you're in that situation because of the choices you've made, and even if you're the one to blame for blowing it, I got good news for you. Israel found themselves in that situation a lot. And when they were in captivity, after they had disobeyed God for decades, and they got hauled off into captivity. As the book of Lamentations is written and Jeremiah is writing this, here's what he says in Lamentations 3, 21 to 23. When they're in a situation that they caused by their own disobedience and God was being faithful by punishing them, here's how they prayed. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Progress, Choose Well Today, from the series Family Fortified, showing you that God has a plan for your progress, starting with choices you make today. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
As the book of Lamentations is written and Jeremiah is writing this, here's what he says in Lamentations 3, 21 to 23. When they're in a situation that they caused by their own disobedience and God was being faithful by punishing them, here's how they prayed. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I'm in a horrible situation right now. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like why I got here. I don't like the circumstances that got me here. I didn't choose it, or I did choose it. It's no good. But this I'm recalling to mind, and the reason I have hope for my future is because my God is so faithful and so loving and so kind and so good that no matter how bad it is right now, it's going to get better because my God is a covenant-keeping God. Amen? That's good news this morning. And it's not based upon your good works. I mean, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Do you remember God's faithfulness? Have you taken the time on a regular basis to speak to him the things you're thankful for, or to write for him the things that you're thankful for? Because sometimes even in bad situations, good has come from those bad situations, and God is still doing good, and God is a good God. It's his character. It's all he knows. It's what he does. His goodness is always chasing us down and overtaking us. It's the enemy that lies to us about the couple things in our situation that haven't been done the way we want, and that's all he gets us to focus on, while all around us, there's so much good happening that we forget to thank God for. And then we wonder, why is God not good? Because he hasn't done this one thing. When all the time God's been doing massive things that we refuse in our heart to tell him because we're so focused on the one thing that we think he needs to do. Can you choose today to remind yourself of God's faithfulness? Can you choose today to be thankful? Not wait till tomorrow, not wait till church is out. Can you just begin to thank him now? Can you just recognize in your heart, there's some good things that God did. Every relationship you've had in your life has been sovereignly designed by the Lord. There's anybody that's ever given you encouragement, that was from the Lord through another person. There's anybody in your life that's ever done you any good, it was from the Lord through another person. If you've ever received any resources, well, that was me, I'm really good at this. Who gave you the good to do with what you did? Who gave you the brain? Who gave you the skill? Who gave God? It all goes back to him. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Rejoice. See his faithfulness in all these things. And when you're overwhelmed with the goodness of God, it takes your eyes off that one little thing that just hasn't happened yet. Amen? So remember his faithfulness. That's choice number one. Choice number two is this: worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a choice that you can make. That's a choice that you can make. He tells them this in verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. What's he saying? You get a choice as to who you're going to serve. And you need to recognize where your allegiance goes is an act of worship. Every human being is worshiping. Well, I'm not really a worshiper. Everybody worships. You were created to worship. You're either worshiping the true one living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, or you're worshiping someone or something else. Pagans worship all the time at their conventions, at their concerts, at their sporting events, with their heroes. They're always worshiping. Hands up in the air. Praise. Sing. What? Well, that's not worship. I'm not. Yes, you are. You're giving your allegiance to someone or something. Worship. Worship. Make worship a priority. Can I talk to the men here for a second? Men, one way you make a priority of worship in your house is that you lead your family to church every single Sunday. Do you know why? Because that communicates to your family, Daddy thinks this is important. And no matter what goes on in our family, Daddy's at church. So it must be a big deal. And every study shows that kids are 90% more likely to follow what their dad does when it comes to spiritual things than even their mothers. Dads, it's your job to lead your family to church. And if you don't, here's what you're communicating. Worship's not that big of a deal. Sports is. Vacation is. Time off is. Recreation is. You're communicating that to your kids. No, I'm not. I still love the Lord. You may love the Lord, but you're communicating the worship of other things to your children. So choose today who you will serve. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. Choose to worship the Lord. And by the way, Sunday is just the start of worship for the week. Like worship is a lifestyle. It's a response to God. So if there's people on the platform leading you in singing and you're hearing the word proclaimed, it doesn't mean when the service is over, worship is done. It means I get to wake up and live my life saying, when I roll out of bed, Lord, it's for your glory today. Every thought, action, and deed I have, it's all about you. How can you best use me to bring you the most glory? What's going to unfold in my life? And how can I best be prepared to make sure that you get my allegiance? That when other people see me and experience me, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Make that choice. Make that choice. Because sometimes when our marriages are struggling, sometimes when we're singles and we're struggling, our worship goes right out the window. And instead of worship, you know what we do? We complain. God, how come you don't fix this? And how come you haven't done this? And Lord, I'm just mad at you right now and all these different things. But when you voice praise to the Lord, everything begins to change because the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 34, 1-3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Or how about Psalm 95? Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Why? For the Lord our God is a great God and a great King above all gods. And he goes on to describe it. Like when you come to church, if you're coming to church begrudgingly, or you're coming to church like, yeah, I don't know if I can make it on time, or you're coming to church just kind of rolling in, you're coming with the wrong heart. Your heart should be all week long, my God's still God. All week long, he created everything I see. He's sovereignly working everywhere. Just to get into his presence with other people that believe what I believe, to worship his name, is worth my time. And I will be here and I will seek him and I will go after him. That's what it means to worship. And there's other places in the world that would put the North American church to shame. There are places I preached in Asia where I show up for a 9 o'clock service to preach and I get there at 8 o'clock and people have been there since 5 o'clock, thousands of them on their face praying, hoping that the man of God that's bringing the word has something to say. Do you know how intimidating that is? These people actually expect it to be good. They're praying that they're not looking at their watch saying, I hope he's done. They're saying, I came from miles away and walked all the way to get here. You better tell me what God wants because I want him. Amen. That's worship. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. Choose to worship him. Choose to give him our allegiance. And by the way, in the families that do that, there's blessing. We organize for everything in our life, usually except our families. We organize dinners with friends. We organize meetings apart from our family. We organize how we're going to take vacations and get away. We organize everything. But what do you organize with your family? When do you organize your family meals and your family time and your family get-togethers and your relationship with one another? Because a family that does, there's blessing. Psalm 128, in the first four verses, it says, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. It's worship. Who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you shall be happy and it'll be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants around the table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. When you put the Lord first, there's blessing in your family. If you want to see the Lord move in your family, then put the Lord first in your life. You want to see the Lord move in your marriage, put the Lord first in your life. You want to see the Lord move in your kids, put the Lord first in your life. Your kids should be so used to coming to church, whether they like it or not, they know that's where we're going to be because that's on the calendar and nothing gets in the way of that. Now, yeah, there can be exceptions. There's a vacation here or a thing there, but they know if we're breathing and we're in town, we're at church. Because you set a precedent for them that it's that important. And if you come expectant, they'll come expectant. And if you start receiving from the Lord, they'll start receiving from the Lord. But if you just roll in like, yeah, I hope it's good today and can't really get there. It wasn't a parking spot. So we went home and just kind of tired. You know, we had a busy night last night. And that's how you view worship. I promise you in the next generation, it's going to be even worse. And in the next generation, it's going to be even worse. So if you want things to improve in your life, with your family, and with your kids, prioritize the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Make him central to all that you do. Choose him and choose him first. Let me give you a third choice that you can make if you're going to worship and honor the Lord Jesus Christ is this: love and forgive one another. Love and forgive one another. Now he tells them here, in verse 15, if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord. In other words, if you don't want to serve the Lord, here's what he says. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. He's like, now I can't make you serve the Lord. I can't make you do this. He goes, and if you want to choose who your dad worshiped and you want to choose the other gods of our culture, I can't tell you what you need to do. But as for me and my house, I'll model it for you. We'll serve the Lord. And you need to choose for yourself this day who you will serve. Because the beauty of the gospel is if you choose as a man or a woman or a married couple, yeah, my family did it this way, but we're going this way. We're all in on Jesus and we're doing it that way. You'll change generations to come. You don't have to do it the way your mom and dad did if they didn't go after Jesus wholeheartedly. And you don't have to make excuses for yourself that, well, if my parents would have known the Lord and done this, then it doesn't matter what they did. You get to choose who you're going to follow. And you get to decide because your mom and dad can't make you worship Jesus. Even if they drag you here for 18 years, you still get the choice whether you're going to listen and go out and do your own thing or serve the Lord. You get to choose. You have your own volition. You have your own will. But Joshua is telling, I'm telling you, if you're going to serve the Lord, there's ways he's going to have you live. And one truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and what centers and culminates at the cross is love and forgiveness. And don't you love the love and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, the gospel would tell you this, that you're dead in your sins. There's nothing you can do to get to God, but God loved you so much that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And no matter how bad you messed up, no matter how horrible your life is, no matter how much in rebellion you've lived against God, through Christ's death on the cross, what he was saying is, I love you so much that I'm willing to forgive not just some of your sin. I'm not just going to cover over your sin. I will cleanse you from all of your sin and make you a new creation because of my love and forgiveness, which is greater than all your sin. Do we love that or what? Amen? And we'll come back to this, but don't you love it as a single who said, I wanted to live morally and I wanted to do this. And if you would have asked me when I was 8 years old, I would have told you, but I didn't live that way. And now I feel this guilt and this shame and all this stuff. His grace is greater than all your sin. Or for those of you who are married, who had this dream and idea in your head, when we get married, we're going to be this family and we're going to bless the Lord and we're going to come together. But it's been really hard. His grace is greater than all your struggle and your sin. That's the beauty of it. That's the love and forgiveness of God. But here's what it really means. Choose this day, not just to receive the love and forgiveness of God, but choose this day to love other people and give them the same forgiveness that Jesus Christ has extended for you.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Plan for Progress. Choose well today. From the series Family Fortified, showing you that God has a plan for your progress, starting with choices you make today. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift to keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.